Neil Jostin's life has been defined by one rule: never stop running. With dyed hair, colored contacts, and a duffel bag containing his entire life, he spent 8 years on the run after his mother stole him away from his father, a notorious crime lord known as the Butcher of Baltimore. When Neil is recruited to play Exie, a fictional sport resembling enclosed lacrosse, for Palmetto State University's dysfunctional team, the Foxes, he faces an impossible choice. Joining means visibility, teammates, connections, everything his mother warned against. Yet when he encounters Kevin Day, a former champion with connections to Neil's hidden past, something shifts. Despite every survival instinct screaming at him to disappear, Neil makes the decision that will either give him something worth living for or get him killed. He signs with the Foxes. What makes this story so compelling isn't just the high-stakes criminal backdrop, but how it explores the fundamental human need to belong. Imagine spending your entire life looking over your shoulder, changing identities like most people change clothes, never forming attachments because they're liabilities. Then suddenly finding a place where your scars, both literal and figurative, might not make you an outcast, but qualify you for membership. Wouldn't you be tempted to stop running, even knowing the risks? The Palmetto State Foxes aren't just underdogs. They're society's throwaways. Coach Wymack recruits talented athletes others reject, recovering addicts, abuse survivors, and kids from broken homes and juvenile detention. The team functions more like a dysfunctional support group with rackets than a sports franchise. This philosophy makes them both fascinating and reviled in collegiate Exie. They're talented but unstable, capable of brilliance and self-destruction. When Neil joins, the team exists in two hostile factions, the upperclassmen, led by Captain Dan Wilds, and Andrew Minyard's circle, including his twin Aaron, cousin Nikki, and Kevin Day. The Foxes' collective brokenness creates something unexpectedly resilient. They fight constantly, trust rarely, and protect fiercely. For Neil, who's never had anyone but his deceased mother watching his back, teammates who might actually care feels both foreign and frightening. How do you function as part of a team when connections are just potential weaknesses? Standing barely 5 feet tall, with a drug-induced smile fixed on his face, Andrew Minyard is the most dangerous fox. Court-mandated medication keeps him artificially manic after nearly beating 4 men to death for attacking his cousin. His forced chemical happiness conceals a calculating mind that sees through facades with unsettling accuracy, earning him the nickname The Monster. When Andrew meets Neil, he strikes him with an Exie racket as a calculated test. Later, at a nightclub, Andrew's group drugs Neil to extract truths. These aren't random cruelties, but Andrew's methodology: identify threats, neutralize them, and protect his chosen family. What makes Andrew truly terrifying is his perception. He immediately recognizes Neil's carefully constructed persona and underlying secrets. "I'll solve you anyway," he tells Neil, not a threat, but a promise. Beneath Andrew's violent exterior lies a code of honor. He makes deals and keeps them absolutely. His protection, once granted, is unwavering. In Neil's world of distrust, Andrew's brutal honesty becomes strangely reliable. Neil's carefully constructed identity unravels upon joining the Foxes. His odd habits, refusing to shower with teammates, changing alone, keeping minimal possessions, raise suspicions. Most revealing are the extensive scars covering his torso that he guards vigilantly. Kevin Day's transfer, officially blamed on a skiing accident, actually resulted from teammate Rico Moriyama deliberately shattering his dominant hand out of jealousy. This incident exposes the Ravens dynasty's toxic nature and their Yakuza connections. More shocking is Neil's connection to this criminal empire. His father was a key Moriyama operative controlling smuggling operations. Neil's childhood memories at Evermore reveal he had been unknowingly groomed as future Moriyama property. These layered secrets create compelling tension throughout. Each revelation shifts our understanding and raises the stakes. We constantly question, What remains hidden? Who can Neil trust? How long before his past catches up with him? Their scars serve as both physical reminders of trauma and roadmaps to their true identities beneath carefully constructed facades. Despite their rocky start, Neil finds himself drawn into Kevin's obsessive training regimen. During late-night practices, Kevin pushes Neil beyond his limits while showing a different side, demanding yet genuinely invested in developing Neil's talent. In one exhausting session, Kevin makes a stunning admission. He believes Neil could become a professional player and join the national team. This leaves Neil reeling. Could someone with his shadowed background actually have a legitimate future? Neil also forms unexpected connections with teammates. Dan's protective instincts, Matt's brotherly concern, and Renee's quiet strength give Neil his first taste of genuine friendship, beginning to crack his carefully built walls. This evolution represents the transition from mere survival to finding purpose. For years, Neil's existence has been defined solely by staying alive, running, hiding, avoiding attachments. The possibility that he might have value beyond his ability to disappear fundamentally challenges his self-perception. Haven't we all wondered if we're more than our circumstances? If something uniquely valuable exists beneath our carefully constructed personas? Neil's fragile peace with the Foxes shatters when Riko Moriyama appears during a TV interview. Kevin crumbles at the sight of his former partner, while Riko focuses on Neil after noticing his protective stance near Kevin. The confrontation escalates until Andrew intervenes, warning Riko about touching his things. The consequences are immediate. Teammate Seth Gordon dies that night, officially an overdose but bearing hallmarks of a professional hit. This demonstrates the central tension of Neil's existence. No matter how far you run, the past eventually catches up. By eliminating Seth, Riko forces Neil into a starting position, thrusting him into the spotlight he's spent years avoiding. What's fascinating is Neil's response. Rather than fleeing as instinct demands, he begins to consider fighting back. This marks a shift from prey to potential predator, raising questions about the cost of confronting one's demons rather than running from them. After Seth's death, Andrew offers Neil unexpected protection from the Moriyamas if he stays at Palmetto State. This contradicts everything Neil's mother taught him about survival. Rather than hiding, Andrew suggests embracing visibility. It's hard to kill a man when all eyes are on him. Logic both ruthless and brilliant. The proposition challenges Neil's conditioning against forming attachments and stepping into the spotlight. Andrew's house key becomes symbolic, a physical choice between isolation and belonging. Neil decides to stay with the Foxes despite potential fatal consequences. This broken, dysfunctional collection of survivors has become something unexpected, a family. Despite their sharp edges and damaged histories, perhaps because of them, they represent everything Neil secretly longed for. Neil confronts a fundamental question. Is survival alone worth living for, or are connection, purpose, and belonging valuable enough to risk everything? His choice suggests having something worth dying for might be better than living for nothing.